This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It is a raucous atmosphere here this afternoon in Monticello. A huge crowd on hand. Monticello has a bunch of people here. Carlinville has traveled extremely well in about a 90-minute trek across 72, just north of Decatur and south of Champaign. Carlinville in the all-white look today. They got the white pants, the road white jerseys with the blue shoulders, blue numbers trimmed in the red, the blue helmets with the red face masks. For the Sages of Monticello, it's the all-purple look. They got the purple pants with the yellow stripe, purple jerseys, yellow on the shoulders, yellow numerals. They've got yellow helmets with a purple M on the side and purple face masks. A big black M with the Sages beneath it at the 50-yard line. You got checkered end zones in yellow in the south, purple in the north. And the ball is teed up. Henry Dawson has it teed there. It'll be Luke Rudolph to step back to kick it away and get this 3A state semifinal underway. Dixon waits back at his own 10-yard line. Rudolph, little mid-range pooch. We've seen that before. It's headed out of bounds. And kicking away from Dixon, always a good idea.
Similar kicking style as we see, as they did not the onside style kick, but mid-range kick and usually into a corner.
In some ways, it's like Carlinville's playing themselves today.
It might be that way. Well, we've noticed there's a lot of good receivers on both sides, so that's a lot of good cover guys on a lot of good receivers.
So here comes the All-Stater, Jared Easterday, leading his crew onto the field. Second time in 3 years, the Cavaliers in the state semifinal. Beat North Mac 2 years ago. They will start at their own 35-yard line. Four receiver set, Dixon the lone receiver on the left side. Wallace is the tailback as Easterday will work from shotgun. First handoff goes to Wallace. He's hit in the backfield, nowhere to go as he's going to lose yardage on the play back to about the 33. Monticello blew that one up off the left side. Well, second and long for Carlinville. Just underway, 3A state semifinal. Carl, this is one of the loudest atmospheres I've heard in a long time.
It is indeed. It's well set up here, but the field is going to be a little sloppy on the play.
Three receivers to the right, Dixon to the left. Wallace is the tailback. They're going to throw and incomplete through behind DeLong, who slipped on the play. So for the first time, we see the field conditions a factor there. Ball a little bit behind Colton, but as he went to make the adjustment, his feet slid right out from under him. And Carlinville immediately into a third and long, third and 12 from their own 33-yard line. Dixon's going to line up in the backfield on this snap. Three receivers come to the left. One receiver to the right. Now they will motion Dixon out. It'll be an empty backfield and a five receiver set. Monticello jumped. Did Carlinville move first is the question. Play was blown dead. The officials will huddle up back at the 25-yard line. And the call is offside on Monticello. So a free 5 yards for Carlinville. That'll move the football up to the 38-yard line and make it third and about seven. 11-22 for the opening quarter. And after this Carlinville snap, we'll get a WSMI game break from Levi Ubelt as the Cavaliers facing third down and seven from their own 38-yard line. They need their 45 to move the chains. Easterday from shotgun. Four receiver set, Wallace the tailback. Jarrett straight back in the pocket. Has time, throwing too tall and incomplete. It'll be fourth and seven. Let's go to Levi Ubelt with a WSMI game break. All right, thank you very much, Levi. So Carlinville going to go three and out as Jarrett missed high on that third down throw.
Yeah, throw was high, and the weather conditions will play a factor. We know that.
Easterday will punt. He'll stand at his own 29-yard line. Snap back to him. He rolls. Oh, he slipped on the punt. Gets it away. Hits at the 40. Takes a Carlinville roll inside the 35 and down to about the 31. So already, Carl, we've seen DeLong slip from the wide receiver position. And then Easterday, when he went to punt the ball, slipped. And that could have been a lot worse. That could have been disaster.
Yeah, you could totally miss the football as you're trying to kick. So that turned out well as he got a good roll.
So for Carlinville, they're going to go with five defensive backs today. Colin Gibble, Jake Ambule, Kyle Dixon, Nick Walton, and Colton DeLong. Ramey Lewis, the lone linebacker. Then Will Walton, Jordan Bressler, Blaze Ballou, and Logan Rosentrater on that offensive or on that defensive front. As Monticello's all-stater comes out for the first time, Braden Snyder, the 6'5", 195-pound senior. Sages will start from their own 31-yard line. Empty backfield. Shotgun snap low. He throws a shovel pass, and Carthenville is ready for it, and slung to the turf is Asher Brad for no gain on the play. So at least early, Carl, conditions are a factor. We've seen Carlinville slipping, and that shotgun snap was low.
Yeah, maybe more of a factor than we anticipated, as we've seen at least three or four things happen already in this football game because of the field condition.
10.5 minutes for the opening quarter. Carthenville got the football first, went three and out. Now Braden Snyder from shotgun motions a man. He's going to run option left. Pitches running left with the edge and slung down at around the 35. That was Alec Bundy. And Monticello will be in the third and about five. Good pursuit on the far side of the field that time from the Cavies. That's about a four-yard gain.
Bundy, their leading rusher, had 94 carries, 833 yards on the year.
They gave him across the 35 to the 36, so it'll be third and five, 10 minutes for the opening quarter. Can the Cavalier defense send Monticello's offense three and out and return the favor? Snyder from shotgun has a back off his right shoulder. They will motion a man now. That is Henry Dawson. Snyder rolling right, looking right, and it is caught. First down yardage at the Monticello 47-yard line. Gain of 11 and a first down. Nice throw and catch that time from Snyder to Dawson. Monticello rolled their quarterback to the right, and he made a nice throw on the move. Braden Snyder, again from shotgun, ball spotted at the Sages, 47-yard line. They will motion a man, Brad. They will fake to Brad. Snyder going to keep it himself, and he gets 1 yard. Good pursuit off the backside that time from Siler McLean.
Now, it's easier to play the defense and offensive line in this game. The toughest of skill players, as we've seen a few slips already.
Second and 10, no gain on that play. Snyder from shotgun motions a man. That is Matt Kerr. They will hand it off, and Carlinville is ready for it. Tucker Hughes meets him right at the line of scrimmage and drives him back. Great job by Hughes to maintain the edge that time as the ball carrier had nowhere to go, Alec Bundy, and it's going to be third and 10. Clock running, 8:40 for the opening quarter. Great atmosphere here today. Monticello going towards the south end zone. All the seats are taken. Everybody is lined up along the fence row. No track along this field. It's a straight football facility. There's snow pushed off up against the fence on both sidelines. Fans in both end zones as well. Snyder motions a man again. That's Brad. Shotgun snap. Snyder looking. Wants it deep. Ambule has the coverage, and it is caught. It's a touchdown. Devin Graham, perfect throw and catch. Snyder to Graham for the 53-yard touchdown.
Just before that pass, I seen Dixon. He fell down, but that was a short pass. We're going to have a lot of big potential plays in this football game.
A six-play, 69-yard touchdown drive for Monticello as they strike first with 8:08 to play in the opening quarter. And we've seen that before on the other end, a perfectly thrown deep ball, receiver hit in stride for the touchdown. Luke Rudolph for the extra point try. It'll be Asher Brad to hold. Kicking into the south end zone. Had him third and long, and they got the touchdown. The kick is up, and it is no good. Missed it to the right. Monticello strikes first. They lead Carthenville 6-0. This is the 3A state semifinal on WSMI. Well, it was loud before the game, and it's louder now after the Sages strike with a 53-yard touchdown from Snyder to Graham on a third and 10 play, Carl.
Big plays. When we anticipate them, they can go either side in this game with two great offenses.
Rudolph has it teed up at the 40. What type of kick will we see here? They will drive it deep. Dixon will field it on a bounce. Oh, it gets past Kyle. It's at the 5. He picks it up, and now he's running inside his 5. And he will plow ahead out across the 10 at the 11. And Carlinville going to be backed up here with 8:01 for the opening quarter. So not the start the Cavaliers are looking for here this afternoon.
No, not at all. So far, the offense did not get going at all on that opening drive as they went with a negative 2-yard run and 2 incomplete passes.
That ball just bounced over Dixon's shoulder. He was in front of it, but it hopped high over his right shoulder back inside the 5. 6-0 Monticello. 1st and 10 Carlinville officially at their own 12. Easterday from shotgun, a 4-receiver set. He's going to throw the quick little screen. It is tipped and nearly intercepted. Matt Kerr was ready for that play. And, boy, Carl, that could have been a pick 6.
Yeah, there was nobody that was going to stop him. And Kerr had 6 sacks on the year, and you can see he's also just a quick defender on the coverage too.
And that's a play that Carlinville has run a lot this year, so Monticello saw that on film and they were ready for it the first time they saw it here this afternoon. 2nd and 10 Cavvies, 4-receiver set. Dixon's jersey is already muddied on the backside as he will come across to the right side of the formation. It is loud here in Monticello. They've got the noisemakers, rocks and jugs, and stomping on the middle bleachers. Easterday from gun has time. Now he's pressured, steps up. Jarrett's going to run. Shoestring tackle as Easterday gets out across the 15 to about the 19. And it'll set up 3rd and short. That was a nice 7-yard scamper for Easterday. And we've seen throughout the year, Carl, he doesn't necessarily look to run, but he can run.
He can when the field's wide open. And there it was, a big wide open lane. And he puts them in 3rd and manageable here.
They need the 22-yard line to move the chains. 3rd and 3. 4-receiver set, Wallace the tailback. Easterday from shotgun. Will give to Ethan. The ball is out, and Monticello's on it. Wallace never got it cleanly. I don't know if Jarrett tried to pull it out of his gut at the last second, but Wallace kept running through the hole with no football and a turnover for the Cavaliers deep in their own end. Comes at the 7:20 mark of the opening quarter. And Monticello will take over in the Seavers Equipment Red Zone. Score big with Case IH at Seavers Equipment online at SeaversEquipment.com. The Sages will start at the Carlinville 18-yard line, already leading 6-0. We haven't seen Carlinville put the ball on the ground much this year, but they did it right here. Around the edge. Looked like Rosentrader got held. No flag on the play as Alec Bundy carries it down for nice yardage. Oh, the flag is there. They did get it. Rosentrader was held off that right side.
You know,
that was play side.
Just don't see it, but
full hand of jersey, and that will come back. And sometimes, Carl, the hold doesn't affect the play. That one affected the play.
Yeah, that was the player to make the tackle, and he just grabbed a hold of him, like you said. We've both seen that one.
Let's go to Levi Ubelt with the WSMI game break. All right, thank you very much, Levi. Of course, the winner of this game gets the winner of that Byron Hersher game and the 3A championship game Friday, 4 o'clock kick at Memorial Stadium in Champaign. Not the start Carlinville was hoping for, down 6-0. 2 possessions offensively, 1 3 and out, and a fumble. And they gave up a 53-yard touchdown the first time the defense was on the field. 1st and 18 for the Sages from the Carlinville 26. Snyder, a deep drop. Now he's flushed back around the 40, and a catch is made right around the line of scrimmage. It'll officially be a gain of about 1, Carl, but he threw it about 10 yards. He dropped back to the 40.
Yeah, he was way back, 15-plus yards beyond the line of scrimmage. I think they was trying to set up an earlier stream, and obviously Carlinville had it covered. He just kept waiting and waiting, but finally made the throw. Not for many yards, though, just a yard gain.
The Carlinville defense needs a stand right here and now. Monticello leading 6-0 after the Cavaliers fumbled deep in their own end. 2nd and 16 for the Sages from the Carlinville 24-yard line. Braden Snyder from shotgun will motion the man. That's Brad right to left across the formation. Dixon going with him. Play action. Snyder looking in zone. Caught in stride. Touchdown, Asher Brad. That was the motion man. And it's a 24-yard touchdown with 6:15 to play in the opening quarter. Monticello takes advantage of the Carbonville fumble. Two plays, 18 yards after the penalty, and a 24-yard touchdown.
And what we was hoping would be the Cavaliers striking early has been the opposite of this game.
And when Monticello scored first, that was the first time all year Carbonville has trailed. Now they are down by two scores. The same set we see Carbonville do. They motion everyone to the left for two, and a flag comes out. We see Carbonville do that where they shift all the lines to the left, and if they get the look they want, they go for two. That's what Monticello did there, but a flag came out, and it was on Monticello. They were lined up offside. Carbonville went 12 games without trailing, and then 4 minutes into this game, they find themselves down. Halfway through the opening quarter, they find themselves down 12. And with the penalty now, Monticello will come on for the extra point try. Brad to hold, Rudolph to kick. The ball will be put down at the 14. This will be a 24-yard extra point try. Snap back, hold down. The kick is up, and it is good through the south upright. 6:15 for the opening quarter. Monticello leads Carbonville 13-0. You're listening to the 3A state semifinal on WSMI. 13-0, Monticello leading Carbonville as Rudolph, a little squibber right down the middle of the field. Dixon comes up, scoops it up at the 25. He's to the 30, hurdles a man at the 35, and he is down there, and that's where the Cavaliers will start, first and 10.
Well, the Cavs offense has to get going now, Tim, because you see the Sages are in full-blown offense going, so you got to find a way to start scoring now.
Absolutely. Braden Snyder is hitting receivers in stride for touchdowns, and right now Carbonville's offense kind of stuck in the mud here on this sloppy day in Monticello. They need a touchdown on this drive. First and 10 at their own 36-yard line. Easterday from shotgun. Will fake to Wallace. He's going to throw the quick little hitter to Will Walton. Walton makes the catch at the Carbonville 44-yard line, 2 yards shy of a first down. That was a little option pass look as Easterday faked it. Actually, it was Tucker Hughes in the backfield. We haven't seen Tucker back there much at all since that hamstring injury, I think, in week 3 of the season. But then Easterday rolled out to the left, looked like he was going to run, and then just kind of shoveled it to Walton. Dixon will motion left to right, three receivers right side, one to the left. Easterday going to throw, has time, looking deep, miscommunication, and no one home, incomplete, as both receivers cut that route off, and Easterday threw it deep. So here early, Carl, we're seeing uncharacteristic things from Carbonville. They are out of sorts.
Yeah, they don't seem to be in sync at all on the passing game right now. Of course, we've had the slip by the quarterback, the slip by the receivers, and just haven't put a big play on against the Sage defense yet.
Of course, both teams play under the same conditions. We have not seen Monticello slipping. Four receivers, two on each side of the formation. Tucker Hughes is the tailback. Easterday from shotgun. Garrett. Will hand off to Hughes. Tucker fighting, churning, not much there. He dives close to the first down. He got to the 45. I think he's a yard shy. It's going to be fourth and short, and this is decision time for Carbonville. I think they might go, Carl. Down 13-0 on the road. Fourth and just about a full yard.
Well, let's see if they put Dixon in the backfield. That's been their real short yardage.
They're in a punting formation. Punt. Monticello doesn't think they're punting. They don't have anybody back. Looks like Carbonville's going to punt this away. Easterday slipped again on the punt. He gets away, hits at the 30, takes a Carbonville roll. And for the second time, Carl, Easterday winds up on his backside on the punt. Carbonville having all sorts of issues with their footing.
Yeah, both punts by the Cavaliers. Easterday has gone down.
Ball spotted at Monticello's 27-yard line. So the Sages take over, leading 13-0. They had the football back at their own 27-yard line. Braden Snyder from shotgun. He's got a couple of touchdown passes already. He will hand it off to Alec Bundy. Turns the corner, has a first down, and he is hit out of bounds on the far sideline, right around the Sage 40. That's going to be a gain of 13 yards off the left side. And it's early and a lot of football to play, but Carlinville might be in some trouble here this afternoon for the first time all season. From shotgun, Braden Snyder. He will give to Bundy again. Inside, bounces outside, and Carlinville has him bottled up. Now he squirts free. He's across the 45 to the Monticello 48, a couple yards shy of a first down. That's a gain of about eight. Looked like Carlinville had it stopped for four or five. Right now, Monticello taking it right at the Carlinville Cavaliers here in this 3A state semifinal. Carlinville has to find their footing, literally and figuratively, right now. 4 minutes for the opening quarter. Snyder from shotgun will give to Bundy again, straight up the middle. He has the first down, crossing midfield for the Carlinville 49, a gain of three. It'll be first and 10 Sages at the Carlinville 49. This is quite the atmosphere here today. And there is a lot of bleachers on this home side, Carl, and they are all filled up and they are loud.
Lots of bleachers on both sides. Give them credit for having very good opponents' size bleachers for the Cavalier fans, which they filled theirs up too.
3:40 for the first quarter. Monticello leading 13-0. It's Bundy again inside. Bounces out to the right. The flag comes out. That's going to be a hold. Bundy is loose at the 30, at the 20, at the 10. He'll be slung down, but this should be coming back as Tucker Hughes was held on that edge. Point of attack again. This will come back on Monticello. That was an easy call for our official. In a standard practice, Carl, no matter where you are, the home crowd boos.
Well, who wouldn't when you're the home crowd?
Exactly,
it's your
right.
team.
It's your job.
You can see the hold yourself and not want to call it.
And the two holds that have been called on the edge to the run side have both been obvious. You're not going to get away with those, ever.
The grab flag. Hold type of hold.
So they will mark it off from the 49-yard line. They will put the football back down on the Monticello side of the 50 at the 42. So a chance for the Carlinville defense to reset here. First and long for the Sages.
Sages have been able to come up, though, with the big plays as they've had the big pass, two big pass plays to get out of these type of situations.
This Carlinville defense has rose to the occasion so many times this season. They need to do it right here and now. They motion Brad. They give to Brad on the end around, running left. Carlinville has it stretched out, and Brad gets right around midfield as he's out of bounds on the Carlinville sideline. They'll mark him right at the 50 and a gain of eight. And at least early, Carl, plays that Carlinville's been able to hold to 3 to 4 yards all year are 8 yards today.
Have had a little success as Bundy's made a couple of good runs here in this first quarter.
They marked him at the Monticello 49. It'll be second and 13 from there. 3:20 for the first quarter. Overcast, dreary day here in Monticello, and the Sages have started fast, leading 13-0, looking for more. Snyder from shotgun. Checks his left wrist for the play. He's going to roll to the right. He's going to throw to the right. Catch is made. Right at the Carlinville 40-yard line. That is Devin Graham.
That'll be the second catch for Graham, another big one. First was a 53-yard touchdown.
That's a gain of 11, and right now Monticello getting a lot of separation from their wide receivers from the Carlinville defensive backs. Of course, these Carlinville defensive backs so athletic, but right now Monticello with the advantage. Third and two for the Sages at the Carlinville 40. They will hand off to Dawson straight ahead, and I think he has the Monticello first down, the extra surge. He certainly has it now at the 37. Needed two, got three. That is Alec Bundy, actually, on the carry.
Yeah. Bundy's been their main runner for sure, and he's over 30 yards and seven carries right now. Cavaliers have somewhat controlled him, Tim, but not on a consistent basis.
3 minutes for the first quarter of play. 13-0, Monticello leading in a matchup of two unbeaten teams, both ranked in the top three of state all season long. Right now it's all Sages. At the Carlinville 38, first and 10 for Monticello. They will fake to Bundy, then Snyder lost his footing. He's down at the 40. Got tangled up with his own feet there. It'll be a loss of three.
And for first time, it seemed to affect Monticello in this game, Tim. But that one, yeah, quarterback just went with a fake to his running back and then fell down, basically, in the slip surface.
We've seen Jared Ishide slip twice when he's punting the ball and wind up on his backside. We saw Colton DeLong slip, trying to make an adjustment on a football on Carlinville's first series. Cavaliers have fumbled once deep on their own end. That led to a Monticello touchdown. 13-0, Sages lead, 2:10 for the first quarter of play in the state semifinal. Bundy takes the snap. Slant behind his intended target, looking for Luke Stringer, and it'll be third and long. Clock will stop, 2:06 for the first quarter.
Yeah, the Cavalier defense is going to have to come up big. This is their first good third down and long opportunity.
The wind coming across the field right now.
Pretty good gust, actually.
Third and 13 for Monticello at the Carthenville 40-yard line. Got to have a stop right now. Snyder from shotgun, Bundy off his left shoulder. Snyder straight back in the pocket, has time, surveys, pats, now he's flushed, rolls to the right, still looking, directing traffic, throwing down, and that is deflected, might be intercepted. Nope, Ambule not able to stay in bounds. It'll be fourth down and 13. Let's go to Levi Ubelt with the WSMI game break. All right, Levi, thank you very much. The Cavalier defense gets the stop, and they have forced the punt as Braden Snyder will stand at his own 48-yard line. Dixon waiting back at the 10. Snyder gets the kick away. It's a good high kick. Dixon makes the catch at the 15, plows forward, and he is stuffed immediately shy of the 20. Good coverage there by the Sages. And Snyder did not slip on the punt car. You can see he took his time and made sure that he was dug in there good.
More of a conventional kicker, I think that helps. One problem that Easter Day's having, Tim, you know, he does kind of a quick soccer-style kick, and I think that gets you a little less balanced.
The Carlinville defense gets the stop. Let's see if that can get the offense settled into the ball game here. They will start at their own 18-yard line. They've had it three times, two punts and a fumble. Down 13-0 as the Sages crowd gets loud. Four receiver set. Wallace is the tailback. Easter Day from shotgun. He's going to throw the quick hitter out to Ambule behind him and incomplete.
And the passes really haven't been too sharp looking so far, as Easter Day is only one out of his six attempts.
And he's completing about 75% of his passes
on the
year.
Yeah. It's about the third one that's just not been where it should be.
And the way that Monticello is pressing up, this is normally when Carlinville will take the top off, but with the slick field, you wonder if it's just in their head a little bit. This field is chewed up already. 103 seconds for the opening quarter. Easter Day will fake the handoff, going to throw the slant. Catch made by Ambule. He's got some space. He's got a first down out across the 30 to the 31-yard line, and see if maybe that can get Carlinville settled in and going here. Nice throw and catch that time right on the money from Easter Day to Ambule, and Jake turned it upfield, and that is Carlinville's first down.
First down. And Jake Ambule, who had a huge game last week against Williamsville, comes
13.
Up with a big play here.
90 seconds for the opening quarter. Easter Day will hand it off. Wallace running right, has a nice hole there, hurdles a man out across the 35 to about the 37. Gain of around six for Wallace. And sometimes, Carl, it just takes one play to get you settled in. The defense got the stop, and then Carlinville got that first down. Dixon is filthy already. His uniform that used to be white is now mud on the backside and down his right side. Good thing we know who he is because you're not seeing his number.
He'll just be the darkest covered player.
Easter Day hands to Wallace. Ethan Wallace had a little hole that closed quickly. He gets 1 yard to the 38, and it's going to set up third down for Carthenville. Clock running 45 seconds for the first quarter of play. Monticello leading 13-0. A 53-yard touchdown on their first possession of the ball game. Then they capitalized on a Carthenville fumble. And Braden Snyder found Asher Brad for a 24-yard strike. They missed their first extra point. Dixon motions left to right, third and four. Monticello jumped offside.
Yes, indeedy. Another break for the Cavaliers, as the penalties have been going against the Monticello Sage, but nothing else.
They had two guys come across the line right there, so a free first down for Carthenville. And Easterday really does know how to work that hard count.
And it's been a big help right here in this game, and they needed another first down there. If you notice, though, the safeties for Monticello Timber, 12 yards off the line of scrimmage. They got two safeties and a third player that's about 9 yards off. So they're definitely playing this like almost a prevent defense right off the bat as far as the coverage of the receivers goes.
Three receivers bunched in the right slot for Carthenville. Will Walton, the lone receiver, on the left. Easterday straight back in the pocket, has time, looking deep for Dixon, almost made a one-handed catch on the far sideline. It'll be incomplete. Yeah, Monticello has paid attention, and they said, you know what, if Carthenville's going to beat us, they're going to have to
throw,
go down the field with short passes and run the ball. We're not going to let them get over the top of us. Because that was a good thrown football there, but there was three purple shirts in the area.
Absolutely. Well, you got the safety. You got the man covering him, and the safety's already 12 yards back, so all he has to do is turn and jog back to that spot.
16 seconds for the first quarter. Second and 10. Yeah, the Monticello safety's 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. Easterday will hand to Wallace. Ethan plows across the 45, gets to the Carthenville 47 for a gain of 4, and that will be the final play of the first quarter. So Monticello punched Carthenville right in the mouth in the opening moments, and after 12 minutes of semifinal football in Class 3A, the Monticello Sages 13, the Carthenville Cavaliers nothing. We'll come back to Monticello following these messages on WSMI. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar back here in Monticello. Levi Ubelt back in our WSMI studios producing this 3A state semifinal action. Monticello leading Carthenville 13-0. And Carl, that first quarter could not really have gone worse from a Cavy perspective.
Not at all. As mistakes, they had the turnover that we don't want to have. They had the slipping on a lot of plays, and that's caused them some big yards.
You wonder if the slipping early got in their head a little bit. They seem to be settled in right now, but they're facing a critical 3rd and 6. They need the Monticello 46 to move the chains. Four receiver set. Wallace is the tailback. Easterday will work from shotgun. Shotgun snap to him. Throws the slant. Oh, Ambule makes the catch on the deflection. He is fighting. He's going to be right at the sticks. What a catch from Jake Ambule, Mr. Third Down, Carl.
Mr. Third Down at least made one heck of a catch that was as tough as can be because it was a hard thrown ball, and then he got hit right at the same time.
Well, it looked like Monticello was jumping the right. It might have bounced off of his hands first, and Ambule, Johnny on the spot, pulls it down for a huge Carthenville first down. Let's go quickly to Levi Ubelt for a WSMI game break. All right, thank you very much, Levi. From the Monticello 45, first time today they've been across the field, and a catch is made very nice by Colton DeLong, another Carthenville first down inside of the 30, down to the Sages 27 for a gain that time of 22 yards.
There's your first big play by this Cavalier offense. And all of a sudden, Jared Easterday's 2 for 2 in a row.
He's going to throw over the middle again, looking in zone. Dangerous! That's intercepted. Picked off by Alec Bundy. He's running the other way at the 15-20, looking for blockers out across the 30. That was well covered. Easterday tried to force it in. His third interception of the season, and it's a big one.
Well, Alec Bundy led Monticello with 7 picks this year, and now he's got 8.
So just when Carthenville had something going, their second turnover of the afternoon, and Bundy runs it back to the Monticello 31-yard line.
Already 2 turnovers with this Cavalier offense.
Again, Monticello just had good coverage down the field. Easterday might have forced that one a little bit. Braden Snyder from shotgun will give to Bundy running right. Cavaliers are there. They shut it down after a short gain to about the 34. It'll be a pickup of 3. Clock running 11:05 for the first half. As Easterday tried to put that into double coverage. Wasn't a bad throw, just the coverage was there.
Right. coverage underneath and on top. And that's those safeties at his way back for
Shotgun snap bounces back to Snyder. He picks it up off the ground, and he's going to be sacked back inside the 25.
It might take the defense today to make the big plays, Tim.
That's the second shotgun snap we've seen go awry for Monticello. That one was a worse outcome than the first one, as Snyder sacked back at the 23, a loss of 11. Monticello needs their own 41 for a first down. Chance for Cronenville to flip field position right now. The defense made a big stop last week in the quarterfinal win over Williamsville. They need to force a punt right here on third and 16. Snyder from shotgun, surveying, looking deep over the middle,
fell.
And it is caught and dropped. Cronenville caught a break there. One of the defenders, Dixon, slipped again.
Yeah, he went down. He would have been in perfect position for that ball, but he went down. Lucky break. The pass just could not be hung on to.
And the field conditions are a definite factor here today, Carl. We're seeing, obviously, both teams are playing on the same surface, but we're seeing Cronenville slip a lot more than Monticello.
Might have to have some type of shoe adjustment, be it spikes, length or something.
Snyder will punt. He'll stand right around his own 10-yard line. Ambule and Dixon wait just outside their 40 for this punt from the Sages. Fourth and 16. Snyder, high kick. Ambule calls for the fair catch and makes it right at midfield. So Cronenville's defense able to flip the field position. And, Carl, that's a huge three and out after the interception.
Absolutely. So they gave up the turnover, but the defense held big time and, in fact, gets them in good field position.
Best field position they've had to start all day long. See if the Cronenville offense can get on the board, getting shut out right now. 13-0, Monticello leads. They scored at the 8:08 mark and the 6:15 mark of the opening quarter. The Sages crowd comes alive. Two receivers to the left, one to the right. Easterday from shotgun, going to pitch left to Wallace.
Got a
flag. Flag comes out right away, and Wallace can't turn the corner. He's going to lose yards on the play. That flag was out almost at the snap. It might have been an illegal formation on Carlinville. It was
that
too early
the
for
case,
a hold.
Yeah, that being the case, I think they'll decline this penalty, will the Monticello Sage.
It is an illegal formation on Carlinville. And you can see the signal right now from their head coach saying, we will decline that penalty. Colin Welter in his 10th year for the Sages, spent 12 years at Aledo Mercer County, won three state titles there. As Monticello looking for their first trip to state in school history. For the loss of the play, puts it back around the 48, two-yard loss. It'll be second and 12. Chad Easterday out on the field a few steps, relaying something to Ambule, who's lined up wide to the left. Dixon, the lone receiver, to the right. Easterday has a shotgun snap. Looking left, throwing short, catch made by Nick Walton. Makes one guy miss, but not the second. Oh, he's slung free, but he's down at the Sages' 46-yard line. They cross midfield, pick up about six. It'll be third down and long. They need the Monticello 40-yard line to move the chains. 13-0, Monticello leads. Two turnovers by Carlinville here in the opening half. The first one was a fumble deep in their own end that led 2 points. This crowd is loud here in Monticello. Right now the Carlinville faithful sitting on their hands just trying to stay warm. Haven't had a lot to cheer for so far. 9 minutes first half. A big third and six for Easterday in the offense. Five receiver set. Jarrett flushed to the right. Looking down the field, throwing, catches made by DeLong. He has the first down at the Monticello 34-yard line. Great throw and catch, a gain of 12. Jarrett's legs kept that play alive.
Did indeed. In fact, if Jarrett had good wheels, Tim, he had plenty of the yards himself, but he did see his receiver, DeLong, downfield for a good gain.
Big first down pickup on third and six. That was a gain of 12. Clock running 8:40 for the first half. Three receivers to the right. Will Walton, lone receiver, to the right. Wallace, short motion. Easterday going to roll left. He's going to plant, throw, and it is incomplete. Looking for Dixon over there. Well covered on the play. Boy, the Sages are really blanking it up, Kyle Dixon.
That time they had three defenders on him.
8:25 for the first half of play. Carbondale facing second and 10 at the Monticello 34-yard line. Four receivers set, two each side of the formation. Wallace is the tailback. Dixon lined up left slot. Easterday takes the snap. Fakes to Wallace, throws the quick hitter to Ambiel, catch made, and he is down inside the 30, a couple yards shy of the first down. It'll be third and short. Let's go to Levi Ubelt with the WSMI game break. Thanks, Levi. And looks like the clock might have struck midnight on the Hersher Cinderella run.
It might have indeed.
Third and three for Carbondale. At the Monticello 27, three receivers left, one to the right. That's Will Walton. Wallace the tailback. Easterday from shotgun. Will hand to Wallace. Oh, Ethan had a hole, but he slipped. That would have been a first down run, Carl, but he slipped right at the line, and he's down after a one-yard gain, and this is probably fourth down territory for the Cavaliers. That's just another slip by this Cavy offense. He would have had the first down easily. It was blocked very well up front.
And Cavies will take a timeout.
Huge play. Fourth and one for Carbondale at the Monticello 26-yard line. The Sages lead Carbondale 13-0, 7:18 for the first half. We're back to Monticello following these messages on WSMI. You know, if Carbondale has some longer spikes in the locker room, they might want to get him at halftime.
Yeah, absolutely. That's been more of an issue for them.
Easterday under center, Dixon in the backfield.
Movement.
Everybody is crowding the
movement
line.
Movement on the line of the Cavaliers.
And that's going to be a costly 5 yards. Instead of fourth and one, it's going to be fourth and six. As Monticello had all 11 defenders within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. They were ready for that Dixon handoff.
Well,
that's going to move the football back.
Obviously, change the play here now.
To about the 31-yard line. And if you're Carbondale, you still have to go here. You're obviously not going to punt. Not worth it field position-wise. Too long for a field goal. Fourth and six. The offense has been so prolific all year. They need a conversion right now. Trailing by 13. Fourth and six at the Monticello 31. Four receiver set. Snap away to Easterday. Has time. Thrown high and incomplete. Looking for the slant and Ambule. It was there, but it was thrown high.
Would have had the first, but yeah, just a high throw there.
And let's go to Levi Ubelt with the WSMI game break. All right, thank you very much, Levi. So the last two times Carbondale's offense has had the football, they've gotten into Monticello territory, an interception, and now a turnover on downs. And once again, the defense needs to come up with a stop.
Something we just did not anticipate, the offense not clicking. It really isn't clicking. A lot of it is just the field conditions as they've been slipping on plays.
Play action, Snyder. Going to throw back left. The flag comes out, and the catch is made by Bundy. He's going to score a touchdown. Hopefully this flag is on Monticello. It's a hold on the Sages. The third big play that has been wiped off the board because of a holding penalty. And that's going to put Monticello way behind the chains. The flag resting at the 25-yard line, so they'll step off 10 from there. And, Carl, this has been a good example of the Carbondale defensive front just maybe overpowering Monticello and forcing them into holds. That's the third one.
Right. The flag came out way before the play actually got developed, as I think the lineman took down the Cavalier defender. So that's when the flag came out. That was a good second or two before he even threw the ball.
I think this is going to wind up about a 16-yard penalty, because remember, they stepped that off from where the hold took place. So the ball is going to be back at the 15-yard line.
Right,
the line of scrimmage was the 31.
The hold was where the quarterback basically was standing, and the defender got knocked down, pulled down, and that's when the flag came out.
It'll be first and 26. 6:59 for the first half. Carbondale being shut out so far. Monticello leads 13-0. Snyder from shotgun. He will hand to Bundy. Running left, they have it stretched out, but Bundy turns the corner, and DeLong knocks him out of bounds after Bundy crosses the 20 and gets to about the 23. Well, I didn't see which Carbondale defender, Carl, but he had him one-on-one on the edge, and Bundy was able to just get around him and turn the corner. That was a gain that time of about seven.
And Bundy up to 41 yards and nine carries. It's not like he's been the big factor, but he has come up with some big runs for him.
6:52 for the first half. Second and 17. Garlandville cannot allow a first down after it was first and 26. They will short motion the man Stringer. Now he works back the other way into the right slot. Snyder rolling to the right, throwing to the right. The catch is made. Good coverage by Walton as he just throws Stringer right out of bounds. Check that, Matt Kerr. As soon as Kerr caught it, he was pushed out of bounds. Another flag on the field.
That one could be a very various calls because that could be defensive hold on the lineman or vice versa.
The way Monticello reacted, I think it's on them. Illegal shift.
Illegal shift.
On the Sages.
Kind of came out quick, so you're not sure what that penalty would have been. Sage has already seven penalties for 50 yards in this game. That's been their only Achilles heel so far.
The Carlinville fumble is costly right now. That's why it's a two-score game. They fumbled deep in their own end after Monticello scored a long touchdown to start the game. Now Carlinville deciding if they want to accept this penalty or decline it. It's going to be third and long if they decline the penalty. Cavaliers will. They will take the penalty. That'll move the football back inside the 20 at the 18. Would have been third and about 12, but the Cavaliers will give the Sages the extra down and take the yardage. Second and 17. Snyder going to throw a quick hitter. It is nearly intercepted. It was too tall for Devin Graham. He stuck his right hand up, got that on it, and then the ball hung in the air, and it was almost caught diving by Colin Gibble. It'll be third down. And about 25, I was looking at the board. They didn't have it quite right, so it was second and 22. It's now third and 22. Gibble almost came up with a game-changing play right there. But chance for the Carlinville Cavaliers again to force a punt deep into Monticello into the field and get good field position. But the defense has to come up with a stop on third and 22. Braden Snyder, the all-stater from shotgun. Three receivers to the right. He's going to roll to his left. He's going to plant, throw deep, has a man caught. That is caught by Graham. He's got the first down into Carlinville territory, running free. Down inside of the 40 at the 36-yard line. A huge play on third and 22. Let's go to Levi Ubelt with the WSMI game break. Thanks, Levi. A 46-yard gain on third and 22, crushing if you're Carlinville. Snyder takes the snap, hands to Bundy, straight ahead, and he is spun down inside the Carlinville 30 at the 29 after a gain of seven.
Big plays have really hurt the Cavaliers today.
Now, a number of times, Carl, we've seen Monticello receivers just running free, something we haven't seen all year.
And one-on-one coverage, that's a problem. If you slip just a little bit, that guy's got you by three, four steps by then.
And Carlinville has slipped a lot here in the first half. Here's Bundy, runs left. Rosentrader wraps him up and keeps him shy of the 25. He's going to be right at the sticks, could be a yard shy. Or will we get a measurement? Nope, it'll be a – I think they signaled first down. Well, they haven't moved the chains yet. Now they will move the chains. Thought the official signaled first down, but the chain gang slow to react. 5:35 for the first half.
Big play Monticello so far. You had Graham with two catches, that 53-yarder and a 46 just on two plays.
Here's Bundy running left, has the corner again, steps out of bounds. As they blocked Rosentrader nicely off the edge. Let's see, they will mark that football inside of the receivers recruitment red zone at the 17. Score big with Kubota in Auburn and Jerseyville online at SeversEquipment.com. Second and one for Monticello. Snap to Snyder, hands to Bundy, straight ahead. No gain on the play. And it should be third and about one. The huge third down conversion on third and 22. Snyder found Graham for 46 yards. It'll be third and short here inside of 5 minutes for the first half. 13-0, Monticello leading. Sages have gotten big plays here in the half. Harlanville's been slipping and sliding over this wet track. Snyder from shotgun. He will fake to Bundy, going to keep it himself, and he has the first down, still on his feet, spinning, and he's into the north end zone for the touchdown. The Cavaliers had a chance to wrap him up. Snyder utilized the nice spin move, and he has a 17-yard touchdown at the 4:28 mark of the second quarter. It is 19-0 Sages after they convert a third and 22. Lines up an eight-play touchdown drive for 69 yards.
And the Cavalier defense giving up those big, long third-down plays has been the difference in this game, Tim. Twice that's happened to them.
Third and 22, that is just crushing. Luke Rudolph now will kick towards the north end zone. Play clock is down to eight. Asher Brad to hold. 4:28 for the half. Snap is down.
The kick is up,
and it is good. 4:28 for the first half. Monticello leading Carthenville 20-0. You're listening to the 3A state semifinal on WSMI. Carthenville in a peck of trouble right now, down 20-0. They're slipping. They're turning the football over and giving up big plays in critical spots. When you have a team third and 22, Carl, you got to get them off the field.
After that play, Monticello seemed to get everything going in the high gear again and drove down the field for that touchdown.
Remember, the Sages get the football to start the third quarter. Rudolph drives it down the heart of the field. It's going to come up short of Dixon. He's going to pick it up at the 15 and just takes a knee.
Boy, just can't get the handle on the football. As it bounces a few times, I guess it's coated with some good mud by then.
Just right now, nothing going Carthenville's way. And we said it before, both teams playing under the same conditions, but right now Monticello looks a lot more comfortable in the slot.
Well, it is theirs. It's their field. That just makes you feel more comfortable, I think, sometimes too.
Just Carthenville, just as they were slipping on the very first series of the game, and ever since then they have just looked out of sorts. Easterday has missed throws uncharacteristically here in the first half. He's been picked off once. Carthenville's fumbled once on the ground with Ethan Wallace, and he gets a nice carry out to about the 20, a gain of 5. Boy, does Carthenville need to get an offensive touchdown here on this drive, Carl. Down 20-0. Obviously,
definitely agree.
They have not been shut out for this long all season long.
Probably never in a first quarter, have they?
No, I don't think so. They've been jumping out consistently to two touchdown leads. They're down 3 touchdowns right now on the road in the state semifinal. Easterday from shotgun will hand to Wallace again, and Ethan Wallace shy of the 25 at the 24. It'll be third and short, and let's go to Levi Ubelt with the WSMI game break. Thank you very much, Levi. Third and 2 for the Cavaliers. See if they can convert this. 3:20 and counting for the first half. 4 receiver set. Wallace the tailback. Easterday takes the snap. Hands to Wallace. Ethan Wallace, straight ahead, has the first down for Carthenville. Out at the Cavy 29, a pickup of 5. Cavalier offensive line blocking well on this series. A lot of football to play, but you just feel like Carthenville needs the score here going into the half.
I think it would help them a lot, not to mention you don't want to give the ball back to Monticello.
4 receiver set. Easterday from shotgun. He will motion Dixon right to left. Jarrett has time, looking over the middle. Caught! Oh, a big lick, but the long held on at the 45. Or did he not hold on? He did not. Incomplete. Jarred loose. Big hit by Devin Graham. The long gets up, and he walks back, hands on hips, head down. That was a big lick on a chilly day. Devin Graham laid it on him that time. Of course, Graham has a 53-yard touchdown, the big 46-yard catch on 3rd and 22, and then a big lick right there. 2nd and 10 for Carthenville, throw on 29. It gets loud. Shotgun snap was high. Jarrett pulls it down, hands off to Wallace, and he dives for the 35. I think he got to the 34 for a gain of 5, 240 for the first half. It's going to be third down and about 4, a long 4 for Carlinville. 2.5 minutes for the first half. 20-0 Monticello. All the big plays have gone the Sages' way here in the first half. Easterday from shotgun. Will fake to Wallace. Jarrett's going to keep it himself, and he slips down. Lost yardage, slipped back at about the 33-yard line. And yet another slip for Carlinville on offense. 2 minutes for the first half. Easterday got up a little slow that time. There's nothing going right for Carlinville here in the first half.
No, borderline. Today's fallen both times he's punted before.
Yeah, borderline disaster in this first half for the Cavaliers. Can Easterday keep his footing on this punt? He does. Gets away a good kick. Bounces at the 35. Takes a Carlinville roll inside the 25. Inside the 20. A great kick from Easterday. Going to come to rest at the Monticello 15-yard line with 1:27 to play in the first half. And remember, the Sages get the football to start the third quarter. So a good punt there from Easterday. And if Carlinville is to have any chance here this afternoon, Carl, they have to keep Monticello off the scoreboard here in the final 87 seconds of the half.
Yeah, they're going to have to go at halftime and go to the drawing board and hopefully go to the footwear and change some spikes out.
Well, they've just been slipping all over the place. We've seen Dixon fall down a number of times on defense.
Right, he's gone down a couple times. One time the quarterback was throwing deep, so it didn't matter, but he went down and the man was wide open.
Snyder from shotgun will hand to Bundy, runs left, and Carlinville has that stacked up. Short gain of 2 out to the 17, and the clock will run a minute 15 for the first half.
And Monticello not wanting to make any mistakes. I don't think they're going to go for it here. They're just going to run the ball out, the clock out themselves.
Monticello in control of this football game right now and have been from the opening kickoff. They sent Carlinville 3 and out on the first series and then scored a 53-yard touchdown. Cavaliers' next possession was a fumble. And eventually the Sages capitalized on that as well. 20-0, Monticello leading, clock running 50 seconds for the first half. Snyder from shotgun will hand to Bundy. Bounces outside left, has the edge, and he is out of bounds. Tackle made over there by Kyle Dixon, but not before a first down for Bundy. Out across the 30 to about the 33. Gain of 14.
Well, now that changes things. You can get a little more dangerous here on the passing game and maybe go for it here as Monticello's in much better field position.
And Bundy is doing something you just don't see against Carlinville, not just this year, but historically, getting the edge and turning the corner. Here's Bundy again, bounces outside, and Carlinville able to get him out of bounds as Bundy gets to the Sages' 40-yard line, a gain of 7. Clock will stop, 31 seconds for the half. So a couple of big runs by Bundy, and you're exactly right, Carl. That might change Monticello's plan here.
I think they're always somewhat in this hurry-up, just like Cavaliers usually are at the line of scrimmage.
Snyder from shotgun will hand to Bundy, and now Bundy
slips.
Goes
down. Well, there's been a couple on theirs too, Tim. We can't say they haven't slipped either, but it just seems like bigger plays have hurt the Cavaliers so far in this game on slips.
It's like when you turn the ball over, if there's not points off of it, it doesn't hurt as bad.
Right.
The Monticello slips haven't been as costly, and that will wind up being the final play of the first half. A first half we haven't seen from Carlinville all season long as Monticello releases streamers into the air as we get to the half. It is the Sages 20, the Carlinville Cavaliers nothing. The Cavs need to get into the locker room and regroup. We've reached the half of the 3A state semifinal. We'll come back to Monticello following these messages on WSMI. All right, thank you very much, Levi. So Camp Point Central on to the 1A state final at Champaign on Friday. That'll be, of course, the 10 o'clock game, the first game of 4 on Friday. And then 5 through 8A will be on Saturday. And for Argenta Orienta, that was their first loss of the year.
A lot of teams, because what was in the double A's, they were all undefeated, weren't they? All four in the quarterfinals. So.
Yeah, 2A is going to have an undefeated state champion. Of course, with Byron well in control over Hersher in 3A, that means the 3A state champ is going to be unbeaten because both Carlinville and Monticello are 12-0 on the year. Byron's been the top-ranked team in 3A all year, and they are crushing Hersher this afternoon. So the feel-good story for Hersher coming to a close in the state semifinals. Carlinville has two quarters to turn their feel-good story around. It's been such an awesome season. This group of seniors has played so many big football games for the Carlinville Cavaliers. And, Carl, when you've got a senior-laden team like Carlinville has, there will be no quit in these Cavaliers. This is their last two quarters of football unless they turn it around, so you can leave it all out on the field.
Absolutely, and we just hope they can get a little offensive connection going, because they just are inconsistent. Remember, they only had one penalty in that half, which is unusual. Carlinville usually pick up a penalty or two. One penalty, but if you recall, it was on a 3rd-and-1, and they just jumped off sides themselves, and that ended up costing them another drive. And that was another just how the opportunities just have not gone their way. They're going to have to change that the second half.
For the first time today, Carlinville will kick off, because they've got Schmidt and Lonnie Rosentrader out the double kickoff. Let's see if they go onside. It'll be one of those mid-range pooches. Fair catch called for and made by Graham at the Monticello 35-yard line. And that's where the Sages will start 1st-and-10 in the second half.
Well, Graham is one of those that's all over the field, Tim. He's had 3 catches for 110 yards in this game, a touchdown, and you also seen him on big defensive plays.
And he's one who caught that 46-yard completion on 3rd-and-22 late in the first half, and that wound up being a big play, made it 20-0 eventually instead of 13-0, and that was a big score at the 4:28 mark of the first half. Snyder will hand to Bundy, and he is stopped after a short gain on the play. Let's go to Levi Ubelt with the game break. All right, Murray Forsyth going back to state again. 4th time in 5 years. They just have permanent reservations at the state tournament.
Not far away from them, are we?
Absolutely not. Here is Snyder, throws the slant, dropped by Graham. Ambuel laid the wood down on him, and it'll be 3rd down and long. And, of course, on the way up, we went right through Decatur that game.
Right.
We went right past Argenta, where Camp Point Central beat Argenta Oriana en route here to Monticello for this 3A semifinal. And right out of the gate, it'll be 3rd-and-9 for the Sages.
Well, this is where Carlinville's given up too many big plays, obviously. They've got to get these quick stops on 3rd downs and long.
Carlinville has the talent and the ability to erase a 20-point hole in a hurry, but they have to get a defensive stop right now. 3rd-and-9, 11:25 for the third quarter. Ball is marked at Monticello's own 36-yard line. Play clock is now running as the Sages are to the line. Snyder from shotgun, 4 receivers set, 2 each side of the formation. They will motion a man, Brad, and we've got a flag coming out. False start on Monticello. That'll make it 3rd-and-14.
Here, Monticello with that 20-point lead. That is their 8th penalty of this game already.
And they've had some 55. Big penalties that have brought big plays
holdings.
Back.
Yeah, they've had.
This game really closer than 20-0, but Carlinville finds themselves down by 20 points. Too many mistakes in that first half. Brad motions again left to right. Shotgun snap to Snyder. He's looking deep, wide open, Brad, and incomplete. It would have been a touchdown. But it was thrown just a little bit behind Brad. He tried to make the in-air adjustment and could not do it. Boy, no one picked. He motioned, Carl, and no one picked him up.
Well, I did see who was covering him. He got picked.
Oh, well, that'll do it then.
As the two receivers went the one way, they hit Colton DeLong, which just basically stopped him. And that's where, he was following him in motion, got picked on the line of scrimmage.
The Carlinville defense comes up with a big 3rd down stand. It's 4th-and-14. Dixon and Ambuel waiting back inside their 40 for the punt return. Well, they just need something, special teams maybe, to get them jump-started here. Snyder will stand at his own 20. Snap back to him. Punt is away. It's to Ambuel. Makes an over-the-shoulder catch. They will. End around to Dixon at the 35. Turns a corner, and he's down at the 40. Nice open-field tackle made over there on the far side of the field by Henry Dawson. And the Cavaliers will have nice field position to start at their own 40-yard line with 11:09 to play in the third quarter. Now it's time for the Carlinville offense to get rolling.
Got to get going. We had Jared Easterday in that first half, 7 out of 16 for just 71 yards, and that's not normal for Jared Easterday. He's much closer to a 75% completion rate.
It was an abnormal half in a lot of ways for Carlinville. Mistakes on offense, big plays allowed on defense. Can they erase a 20-point halftime deficit and get back to state? A lot of time to play. Three receivers to the right, one to the left. That's Will Walton. Easterday from shotgun. This place is loud. Jarrett has time, throws short, catches made by Dixon. And Kyle Dixon spins away, still on his feet, takes five stages to get him down. It's a short gain of about 3 yards.
And that is Kyle Dixon's first catch of the game.
Wow. They've done such a good job of shadowing him, Carl. They've had multiple defenders committed to him all game long, and that's a play we've seen go for huge chunks of yardage all season.
Isn't that normally an 8 to 10 yard gain right there when he gets there with one-on-one coverage? But three other players came over and helped.
Second and 7. Easterday. Oh, we got whistles before the snap. And Carlinville took a timeout. 10:32 for the third quarter. 20-0, Monticello leads. Carlinville has the football. When we come back to Monticello following these messages on WSMI. Following the Carlinville timeout, they have it 2nd and 7. Four receiver set, Dixon in the right slot. Wallace is the tailback. The Sages fans get loud again. Hostile environment. They throw a quick hitter and incomplete as off the mark was Easterday looking for Colton DeLong. And Carl, Jarrett has just seemed out of sorts here today.
He has, especially that play right there. Now, excuse me, it's not an easy pass, but he's off by, what, a good 2 yards on his throw.
And we haven't seen that. Forget this year for
– ever.
Yeah, ever. His whole career, just haven't seen it. He's been so accurate. And there hasn't been a lot of pressure necessarily, but it's just seemed chaotic around Jarrett in the pocket today.
No,
Third and 7.
A lot of it has to do with his footing. He's uncomfortable on the throw.
Plants, throws over the middle, has a man caught. Will Walton, first down into Monticello territory at the Sages 43-yard line. Big third down conversion right there from the All-Stater, finding Will Walton. That is a gain of about 14. From their own 43 to the Sages 43.
Will Walton's third catch. He's caught 3 for 28, and that's Jake Ainville has 3 for 27, but haven't really got the ball spread around like they usually do.
And that's one of the rare times we've seen the Carlinville receiver wide open in the middle of the field. 10-10, third quarter. 1st and 10, Cavies at the Monticello 42. Easterday, Will, hand to Wallace. Ethan Wallace, nice gain inside the 40, down to about the 37. Let's go to Levi Ubell with the WSMI game break. All right, that's a heavyweight matchup there.
Yeah, it is. Sounds like a good game going on.
Carlinville on the move, trying to get on the board. 20-0, Monticello leads. A lot of time to play in this football game. Four receivers set for the Cavies. Two in the left slot, two in the right slot. Jarrett has pressure, steps up, throws underthrown. It's intercepted. Picked off by Asher Brad.
And strangely, Tim, that was probably underthrew by a good 5 yards. Again, I'm thinking he did not. His base wasn't there that he's used to throwing with. And he's throwing way off on a lot of these passes.
He has struggled with his footing all day long, throwing the ball and kicking the ball. So another turnover, his 2nd interception. Had 2 interceptions coming in for the whole season through 12 games. He's thrown 2 today. 3rd Carlinville turnover.
And the first one, you can say, was just still a good defensive play, and the throw was actually accurate, but it was just a double team coverage, and that's what caused that interception. This one was just well underthrown, well underthrown his own receiver.
Ball spotted at the Monticello 17 following the interception. They will fake to Bundy. Snyder going to keep it himself, and he pours ahead out across the 20 to the 21 for a gain of 4.
And we hadn't seen much of his running. I wonder if he doesn't feel comfortable in the footing field bowl too.
It's been an issue today, no doubt about it. And for Carlinville, they've had now several possessions where they've gotten into Monticello territory but have not been able to capitalize, being shut out with 9 minutes to go in the third quarter. And they looked like they were starting to get something going there offensively before that ball was just massively underthrown. Snyder takes the shotgun snap, throws it out, catch is made by Graham. All sorts of space there. Graham makes the first guy miss. He's out across the 30 to about the 33, gain of 12. Boy, just so much separation for Devin Graham. He's had that all day long.
Yeah, it does seem like it, though. He's got 122 yards and four catches. He's been a major threat for this Monticello Sage team.
8:40 for the third quarter.
Bundy had a good first half as he is up to 87 yards at the end of that first half, so expect a lot more of seeing him run the ball, especially with this lead.
Cromwellville's had their opportunities today. They just have not played their best football game. Bundy will get the handoff fake to him. It's Snyder now, and he's out across the 35 to about the 37, a gain of four.
It seems like they've came out thinking there was a big hole in the middle when they was trying to hand off to Bundy on the outside. The quarterback, that's twice he's already taken that fake handoff and run up the middle.
Well, you know Cromwellville wants to shut down that edge run of Bundy. He got to the edge a number of times in that first half.
Few times it was, well, again, the defender slipping a little bit and not making the tackle.
Second and five for Monticello at their own 37-yard line. 8 minutes to play, third quarter. Split backs for Braden Snyder out of shotgun. Haven't seen this formation from them all game long, and now they have to take a timeout as the play clock was down to two. 7:54 for the third quarter. Another interception for Carlinville, their third turnover of the day. Monticello leads the Cavs 20-0 here in the 3A state semifinal on WSMI. Tim Myers crawled the bar back here at Monticello. It's second and five for the Sages, leading Carlinville 20-0. Too many mistakes for the Cavaliers today on both sides of the football. Snyder will fake to Bundy, keeps it himself, and he has the Monticello first down right at the sticks at the 44-yard line. Gain of seven.
Something the Cavalier defense cannot allow is Monticello just to have two, three runs and get first downs repeatedly and just basically eat the whole second half up.
Yeah, 7:45 right now for the third quarter. Carlinville's defense got the stop they needed to start the half, and then the Carlinville offense picked up a first down, was down to the Monticello 37-yard line, and then the interception. Story of the game is the footing that Carlinville has not been able to get on this sloppy surface. Hand off to Bundy running right, and Dixon has him wrapped up and slung to the turf for a loss. Back inside the 35 at around, excuse me, back inside the 45 at the 43.
Almost thinking they might get a hold call there too, as the defender or the blocker was actually behind Dixon trying to hold him up.
It'll be second and 11. Cromwell defense really cannot afford to give up anything else the rest of the way if they're to have any chance here. Second and 11. Monticello will scrimmage from their own 43-yard line. Snyder takes the low snap, swings it out to Luke Stringer. Makes the guy miss. He is loose. He's at the 25, and he is down. Actually, the 35 inside the 30, down to the 26.
Another defender falls down. The only one that can really make the play falls down right in front of him and lets him get away for a big game.
Boy, and if he can keep his footing, he should have him wrapped up for no gain on the play. Just a little swing pass, and the defender was there in position to make the play but couldn't make it.
And when you fall straight down, you not only don't make the tackle, you don't even slow him up. He just gets to run right by you.
That's a gain of 17. 6.5 minutes for the third quarter. Snyder from shotgun. Hands off to Bundy. Wants to bounce it outside. Tucker Hughes had him, lost him. Now Bundy inside of the 25. Nearing the 20-yard line, takes a host of jerseys to get him down. He is right at the 20, a gain of six. And Monticello back in the Severs Equipment red zone. Score big at Severs and mow like a pro with Exmark, Hustler, and Ferris online at SeversEquipment.com as we approach the six-minute mark of the third quarter. And Carlinville is in a lot of trouble right now. Offense can't get going. They've turned it over three times, and the defense is having trouble getting off the field on third down.
At third downs especially in this game have burned them.
Monticello going towards the south end zone. Cavies need a turnover. They motion a man. That is Stringer right to left. They fake to Bundy. Snyder looking in zone, and it is caught. What a catch. Colin Gibble had the coverage, but Luke Stringer hauls it in over the shoulder. My goodness. The defense couldn't have been any better that time. 5:28, the third quarter. It is 26-0 Monticello. That's an eight-play drive after the interception. Eight plays, 83 yards. And on a day, Carl, we've seen Cromwell defenders slipping. Gibble did not slip there.
Nope,
the coverage was
coverage.
Great. Oh, man, it was great.
Well, we talked about it. We had quarterbacks that could just make those kind of plays that even good defense would be burnt. And that's the case right there. That's what it is. Snyder earns the touchdown on a perfect throw.
That winds up being a 20-yard touchdown. The snap is down. The kick is up from Rudolph, and it is good. 5:28 to play in the third quarter. Monticello all over Carthenville, 27-0 in this 3A state semifinal on WSMI. Squibb down the middle of the field, picked up by Dixon at the 25. He slips, and he's drilled right in his tracks at the 26. And, Carl, that pretty much just sums up Carthenville's day. They
yeah.
just can't get their footing.
And what? Couple times you think, oh, Dixon gets to return the ball. Well, it turns out he can't handle the muddy ball when he's trying to get a hold of it, and then he's usually slipping before he can make a move.
You know, you always hope that field conditions won't be a factor. They are certainly a factor today. Obviously, Monticello dealing with them a lot better than Carthenville is right
yeah.
now.
Of course, Monticello lives a little more with the running game, and he can usually run better. He can handle passing.
But they've hit some big pass plays here today. Easterday hands it off to Ethan Wallace, hurdles a man, and he is down at the 29-yard line, a gain of three. Carthenville being shut out. I don't think anybody saw that coming at the five-minute mark of the third quarter. But they've turned it over three times, all those turnovers coming inside of the Monticello 35.
Yeah, that's been the key factor. You got three turnovers by the Cavaliers and zero by Monticello.
Second and seven for the Cavies. Four receiver set. Easterday back in the pocket. Going to swing it out. Easterday took a big lick. The catch is made by Wallace. He's out to the 35-yard line as the Sages got into the backfield in a hurry right there and walloped Easterday. Winds up a gain of six. Been a long day for Jarrett. 4.5 minutes for the third quarter. 27-0 Monticello. A mistake-filled afternoon for the Cavaliers. Will Walton dropped his mouthpiece. He has to go back and get that. There's nothing going right for Carthenville right now. Easterday will hand to Wallace. Ethan has the first down at the Carthenville 38-yard line, a pickup of three.
Hey, Ethan's grounded out 38 yards here, Tim, and 14 carries, so they haven't come easy. Cavaliers never have been that exploding running team. They've had a couple big games, but usually they live by the pass, and it just hasn't been there today.
No, it's been a tough, tough uphill battle for Carthenville all day. Easterday back in the pocket, going to throw out in the flat. Catch is made out across the 40 to about the 43 by Colton DeLong.
And that's a good example of, like Kyle Dixon's catch, Tim. No yards after the catch. And this, you got to give Monticello's defense credit. They are on these receivers, and when they catch it, they make a quick tackle on them.
Yeah, Carthenville's been slippy, but Monticello has been taking it right at Carthenville since the opening kickoff. The credit goes to the Sages for sure. Here is Wallace. Oh, drilled in the backfield. The ball is out. Monticello has it. Wallace was walloped in the backfield, and the ball just squirted out. Picked up by Monticello by Henry Dawson, and the Sages will take over at the Carthenville 45, the fourth Carthenville turnover of the afternoon.
And what was the total? We knew two interceptions, but just turnovers in general,
four.
I think we're under four total.
Oh, for the year, yeah.
Well, I was thinking for the year was, it might have been a little more than that, but just two picks. So.
Right.
Just
well,
not an unusual game here.
You just don't see Cromwell put the football on the ground. And
no.
They've done it twice here today.
Not for the last several years do you see Cromwell team turn over a ball four times in one game.
Definitely abnormal. Snyder going to swing it out. Catch is made by Stringer. He's got some room. He's loose. He's gone. Touchdown. A little wide receiver screen, and it's a one-play, 45-yard touchdown drive. And the wheels are wobbly and coming off now for Carthenville at the 3:17 mark of the third quarter.
Back-to-back big plays by Luke Stringer for Monticello.
That makes it 33-0 at the 3:17 mark of the third quarter. That took just 10 seconds. One play, 45 yards after the fumble. And it's just an unfortunate way for this great Carthenville season to come to a close. Rudolph for the extra point. Brad to hold. Snap is back. The hold is down. The kick is up, and it is good. Four Carthenville turnovers, and they have been costly. 34-0. Monticello leading Carthenville. Will come back to Monticello in this 3A state semifinal following these messages on WQSMI. Four turnovers, and Monticello has scored three touchdowns off of those turnovers. 34-0, Sages. Rudolph has it teed up. He will scoop it down the middle of the field. Dixon going to scoop it up at the 18-yard line, dancing around looking for a seam. Has a little bit of a hole out across the 30, 35. Stiff arm, 40. He's at the 50. Dixon might go at the 40. At the 30, at the 20, Kyle Dixon is gone for the touchdown. And it might be too little, too late, but you got to start somewhere,
well,
Carl.
Obviously, without something like that to change the momentum, Cavaliers were dead in the water after that last touchdown. But here you had that big return. It gives you a little bit of hope, especially, say, you do a little onside kick, Tim. Maybe get that and get this offense rolling. They haven't got the offense rolling, but they needed a big play. They finally got one.
That was an 82-yard kickoff return for Kyle Dixon.
And now, it's just great that it was a Kyle Dixon play.
Fitting.
They've really been all over him on the defensive side.
Finally, something positive for Carthenville. Took to the 3-minute mark of the third quarter for the Cavies to get on the board. Who would have thunk that? Now Matt Schmidt for the extra point try. Easter Day to hold. Snap back, hold down. Schmidt's kick is up, and it is good. An 82-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. And with 3 minutes to play in the third quarter, Carthenville on the board, but they got a long way to go. 34-7, Monticello leads. We'll come back with the Cavi kickoff following these messages on WSMI. Tim Myers, Carl DeBar back here at Monticello. And Carlos, I would think we're going to see an onside kick here, but you never know.
Maybe a little mid-range one at least. No, he gets it pretty deep.
It'll be caught by Graham at the 30 on the back pedal. Makes one guy miss, makes two guys miss, and dives out to the 40-yard line. So we'll see if the Carthenville defense can come up here with a stop. And who knows, Carl, anything is possible. Remember, last year, Edwardsville had a running clock and lost.
And lost.
I mean, there's still football to be played here, but the Carthenville defense needs to come up with something. See if the kickoff return from Dixon can maybe start to turn this momentum a little bit. But they got to string a bunch of good plays together. They really can't afford another bad play.
That's true. Can't afford a bad play and could use the turnover themselves.
Bundy dancing around in the backfield looking for the edge. Carthenville has him strung out, and they will get him on the ground after a short gain to the 42. Clock will run 2:40 for the third quarter. It was 20-0 at the half, but it felt closer than that, just mistakes from Carthenville. And the key, Carl, is Monticello has made the Cavaliers pay for those mistakes with touchdowns.
They have. They come up with big plays. They've had the big plays. Now Carthenville finally gets one by Kyle Dixon himself on a kickoff return.
Second and 8 for the Sages from their own 42-yard line. Snyder from shotgun, three receivers to the left. They will fake to Bundy. Snyder keeps himself. He was tripped up, but he keeps his balance, has the first down, down to the Carthenville 39-yard line. Gain of 19. Boy.
Yep. That'll kill you. kind of the play they've added in this half, because they didn't run that play at all before in the first half. It was a quarterback just faking to Bundy and then going up the middle himself. And it's been open a couple of times.
2 minutes to play, third quarter, 34-7, Monticello leading. Ball spotted at the Carlton DeVille 39-yard line. Sage is the champions of the Illini Prairie Conference. Fake to Bundy. Snyder pulled it out of his gut, keeps himself down to the Cavi 35-yard line and a gain of four. That was literally right in the gut of Bundy, and Snyder pulled it out. Clock running inside of 90 seconds for the third quarter. Cavaliers have not been able to force a turnover all day long. On the other side, they've turned it over four times themselves. Not a good recipe. Snyder will operate out of shotgun. Bundy off of his right shoulder. We approach the final minute of the third quarter. They will give to Bundy this time, running left, and he has the edge. He has the corner flag, comes out. That's going to be a hold on Monticello as Kyle Dixon got pushed right in the back.
Yeah, I thought I might. You know, I'll tell you what, when they're going to make a hold, they go for it, don't they?
They get their money's worth, don't they?
Yeah, they do get their money's worth.
The flag came in late. Dixon got up with his arms pointed to the sky like, come on now, and then the flag came out. 55 seconds for the third quarter. The flag resting at around the 31, so they'll step the penalty off from there, 10 yards, and they will put the football down at the Carthenville 41-yard line.
I'll give Monticello Sages credit. They have 9 penalties, 65 yards. They've overcome a lot of these holding calls and gone on a scoring drive.
Still, the biggest play of the game was 3rd and 22 when they converted
from
46.
That was after penalties,
yeah.
Too, yeah.
It was 13-0 at that point. Cronville looked like they were going to force Monticello to punt from inside their own 30-yard line. Instead, a big pass play there and eventually a touchdown, which made it 20-0. The game had a different feel from that point on. Snap was low. It's a little end-around reverse. It's going to be a pass. That is Brad looking. Now he's going to tuck it, try to run it. Oh, gets away from one man, cuts it inside, and he is down at the 36-yard line. Boy, he danced around in the backfield for a long time, girl. He really wanted to throw that ball.
Apparently his receiver got out of his range because he should have had someone open as long as he had the ball. Boy.
He still got something out of it, though. Winds up picking up about 3 yards.
Yeah, the defender, I think, slipped. Basically, Tim, because the guy was coming in to make the play and just lost his footing trying to make tackle on him.
And that will be the final play of the third quarter. It was 20-0 at the half. After three quarters, it is Monticello 34, Carthenville 7. You're listening to the 3A state semifinal on WSMI. Tim Myers, Carl DeBar back here at Monticello High School. And Carl, you had an interesting observation at the break. The Monticello players, when they put their foot in the ground, for the most part, they were able to plant and make a move, whereas Cronville, they've just been slipping all over the place.
They have. And not that Monticello hasn't fallen a few times themselves, but I'd say it's like a 7 or 8 to 2 ratio of who's slipping and falling. And you just wonder, is the spikes that much difference? Maybe it could be. Another big third down.
3rd and 7 for the Sages from the Carthenville 36-yard line. Snyder will give it to the end-around man. That is Bundy, who came from the right slot. Oh, he has the first down. Just tiptoes the sideline, cuts it in bounds. And he's tackled late out of bounds. I don't see a flag coming, though. But it is a first down. Another first down carry for Bundy as he gets inside of the 30. Where did they mark him down at? He might be inside the 25. He is down to the 23. That was a gain of 13.
That'll put Mr. Bundy over the 100-yard mark.
From the left hash, Snyder takes the shotgun snap. He will hand to Bundy. He's going to run right. Stretching out, looking for the corner, not going to get it this time as the Cavaliers stack that up. Lost yardage on the play did Alec Bundy. A host of white/muddy jerseys over there to make the stop. 11.5 minutes for the ball game. Ball spotted right around the 23-yard line.
And I'll say that is only like the second time they held him or got him for a loss.
Yeah, he's been able to get that edge consistently here this afternoon. Devin Graham split out wide to the left. He's been dangerous today. Well, he's almost on the sideline. He's so far split out. They're going to fake the handoff, and then Snyder slips.
Well, now we got to chalk that one up there because that's been what's been tormenting Carlinville. It's plays that look like they're there, but then you just fall and go down on your own.
It's been a rough field day, no doubt about it. The Sages of Monticello have handled the field conditions better, more consistently than Carlinville has here today. Been one of the most mistake-filled Carlinville games we've seen in a long, long time. Four turnovers on the day, three touchdowns off those turnovers. But beyond that, Carl, we've seen receivers that were open, missed, receivers slipping.
Right. And quarterback not getting his footing when he throws the ball high. He's thrown it short.
It's been multiple things that have gone wrong.
The one interception was like short by 5-6 yards. I just got to believe he didn't have his footing when he threw it.
Monticello takes a timeout. 10-20 for the ball game. 3rd and 14 for the Sages at the Carlinville 26 when we come back to Monticello following these messages on WSMI. It's been a great atmosphere all day long here in Monticello. Just unfortunately for Carlinville, they're on the business end of it right now. 34-7 Sages. Snyder looking 3rd and 14. He has a man, and it is caught. Wow. It's a touchdown. Kyle Dixon, a headlong dive to try to knock it away. Just beyond his reach. Fell right into the lap of Asher Brad for a 26-yard touchdown.
And another 3rd and long pulled off by the Monticello Sages today, Tim. That's been the killer in all aspects.
Yeah, they have not been able to get off the field on 3rd down. That's a 26-yard touchdown on what was 3rd and 14. 10-15 for the ball game. It's 40-7 Monticello. Luke Rudolph on now for the extra point try. Kicking to the north end zone. Snap is down. Rudolph's kick almost blocked, but he gets it up, over, and missed it wide to the left. 10-15 for the ball game. Monticello strikes again. They lead Carlinville 40-7. You're listening to the 3A state semifinal on WSMI. Tim Mize, Carl DeBar back here in Monticello. The Sages have it teed up at the 40. And they will squib it down the heart of the field. Dixon going to pick it up just outside the 30, dancing around. Actually, just outside the 25. Crosses the 30 now. A little stiff arm at the 35 with 10:09 to play in the ballgame. You're listening to your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. And, Carl, it's been a long, sloppy day for the Cavaliers.
It really has been. They just haven't got their offensive clicking on a regular basis the whole game. And, of course, 4 turnovers, just so uncharacteristic of this football team.
And that fumble early when it was 6-0, they fumbled inside their own 15. That kind of got the ball rolling the wrong direction. Here's Easterday, throws a quick little hitter. The catch is made, but not much yardage there out across the 35. Catch made by Jake Ambuel to around the 37-yard line, a short gain of 3 inside of 10 minutes for the ball game. Just the way this game started, it's set up for a long day, and it hasn't really changed. Carlinville went 3 and out. The Sages went right down the field for a 53-yard touchdown. Shotgun snap to Jarrett. Throws a quick little hitter to the long drop. But again, all sorts of traffic over there, Carl. Monticello has done a great job of taking away the deep pass, but at the same time, containing those screen plays.
Yeah, they've been there. It looks like a very dangerous. We almost seen a pick six early in the first half on that little screen pass. So they've taken it away and taken the deep ball away with safeties playing deep in the field.
9:32 for the ball game, 40-7 Monticello. Easterday from shotgun. This place is loud. Easterday will hand it off, and there's just nothing there. I think that's Tucker Hughes on the carry, and he has brought down no gain on the play. Just tough sledding all day for this Cavalier offense. This Sages defense brought their lunch pail today, and they have taken it right to Carthenville. Fourth and seven, and the Cavies will go. They have no choice. Actually, I think they're going to punt. Always hard to tell with Easterday since he's the punter and the quarterback, but I think they are going to punt it away. Clock running inside of 9 minutes at their own 37. Snap was high. Jarrett got it off. Low kick gets past Brad, rolls inside the 30. He'll pick it up at the 25. Dixon giving chase, missed him with a dive. Brad still loose, middle of the field at the 40. Bounces outside, looking for the edge, 45, 50. Got a block into Carthenville territory inside the 40. Down the sideline and out of bounds inside the Cavalier 30. Oh, boy.
And that's another reason this game's been bad on the Cavaliers. Dixon doesn't miss those kind of tackles, Tim.
He just couldn't
do anything but run straight and fall in the mud.
We've seen so many things happen today, Carl, that we haven't seen all season long. And that's how the score winds up like it is. Carthenville making uncharacteristic mistakes and just having things not go their way that have gone their way all year long. And now, all of a sudden, Monticello can score here and put a running clock on the Cavaliers, and nobody saw that coming. Ball will be spotted at the Cavalier 27. Snyder will operate from shotgun. Chris Brown, the new tailback, into the ball game. The snap is low. Never got back to Snyder. He goes diving into the line of scrimmage, and I think he got on top of it.
And that's where the opportunity just hasn't been there for the Cavaliers. There was a bad snap, fumble, but it's recovered right by Monticello's quarterback.
Clock running 8:10 for the ball game. Been a long day for Carthenville in a lot of different respects. Well, you look out there at their white jerseys, the linemen are completely covered in mud right now. Been a sloppy day from the get-go. Carthenville defensive line puts their hand in the mud, ready to go. Snyder takes the snap. He will fake to Brown. He's going to run left. Rosentrader has him wrapped up and throws him for a loss back at the 35. And that's just one of the rare times today we've seen Rosentrader be able to get in the backfield. He has had a great season, all sorts of pressures and tackles for loss on the season, but he's been blocked up well today. Got loose that time.
But here we are again. Third and
17.
Very long. Yeah, 17-23. This is where they just weren't able to put the – you know, shut the door on him for some reason today.
Yeah, still, go back to it. The fumble on the second possession of the game inside their own 15, that was costly. And then the third and 22 converted when it was 13-0 with about 6 minutes to go in the first half. Costly, costly plays. Every big play has gone to Monticello today. Brown puts it on the ground, kicks it around, and the Cavaliers get on top of it at the 34-yard line.
That was rugby in its best right there. That ball was kicked two or three times.
Wound up the, I think it was Tucker Hughes, actually secured it with his feet, wrapped it up with his feet, then got his arms around it. The first turnover of the game for Monticello, their backup tailback, Chris Brown, never had that handoff cleanly. 6:48 for the ball game. Carthenville without an offensive touchdown today. Their touchdown courtesy of an 82-yard kickoff return from Kyle Dixon. From shotgun, Jared Easterday. He's had a rough one. Plants. Throws deep, has a man. Dixon caught at the 50. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. Tripped up as he dives inside the 25.
Kyle.
He had to slow up a little bit to make the catch. Otherwise, it might have been six. First big pass play of the day for Carthenville down to the Monticello 22-yard line.
Good to see the two to hook up here, if nothing else, in their final game, possibly.
About 44. 6.5 minutes for the ball game. And Carthenville get their first offensive touchdown of the day. Three receivers left, one to the right. That's Will Walton. Tucker Hughes is the tailback. Jared will work from shotgun. Snap away. Surveys, throws, double coverage, and incomplete. Looking for Ambule down there in the front corner of the end zone. It'll be second and 10.
And can the Cavaliers finally get in the Sears Equipment red zone? They have not offensively got into the red zone, period. It was a kickoff return, was a touchdown.
Yeah, you can score big with JCB at Sears Equipment, online at SearsEquipment.com. Yeah, they spent most of the year running through the Sears Equipment red zone on the way to touchdowns, but today they've been turning the ball over just outside the Sears Equipment red zone. Second and 10 for the Cavies. Ball spotted at the 22. 6:13 to play. Easterday is pressured, gets it away to Tucker Hughes, and he's going to be dropped for a loss back at the 25. Free pressure off the edge that time, blew that play up. These Monticello fans are jacked up. Don't tell them it's 40-7, Carl. They are just as loud and into this game as they were at the Open. Monticello has never been to the state championship game. They're going to do it this year.
Just a little jog up the road for them.
It's a short drive. They'll play in the 3A title game on Friday afternoon. Easterday from shotgun. Plants, survey, steps up, and he is sacked back at the 32-yard line. So once again, Carl, Carlinville nears the Sears Equipment red zone, and then
and they can't get
can't
in it.
Can't get in it.
Or over it like they you know, that used to be there. They get down to 25, 20, about the 30, and score from that distance. But this game, they got down there and have a turnover. Two of them, I do believe.
Everything has gone wrong for Carlinville today. Anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. And it started early. You haven't seen them go three and out very much this year, and that's how the game started today. Gets loud again. They got the rocks in the bottles and then stomping on the metal bleachers. Easterday throwing. That is trouble in all sorts of coverage. Batted away. Two purple shirts down there defending Kyle Dixon. And that was fourth down, so it'll be a turnover on downs.
Well, that's as good a play as you can go for in a lot. You know, even though it's double covered, Tim, I'll take my chances with Kyle Dixon trying to play a jump ball with him.
Absolutely. He's going to win it more times than
yeah,
not. But
came close, but, you know, we still have to tip our hats to this Monticello Sage team. They have great speed and quickness all over the field, don't they? I mean, they cover everybody, it seems like.
There's that saying about Mama said there's going to be days like this.
Ooh.
This is one of those days for Carlinville.
Love to see these teams play on a better field today, but can't take anything away from Monticello.
No. Jack Spence, I just realized this. I've seen a baggy jersey out there. He's listed as number 22. That's what he wears when he plays defense. Then he wears number 50 when he goes onto the offensive line, and they just slide a jersey that's been all cut up over him. Now Bundy going to be thrown for a loss, wrapped up as Dixon gets him down. Forward progress stopped at around the 25.
And that's what's it called? It's All-American or Illinois? What did he not get this year?
All-State.
All-State? He's not an All-State. He's an All-State defender.
He really
nothing
is.
Else.
Remember,
he's made more defensive plays than we've seen anybody in the year.
And he started on defense 2 years ago on the team that went to state as a sophomore.
That's how good he was, yeah. And he's just gotten better and stronger.
Second and 15 for Monticello. Clock running towards the four-minute mark of the ball game. Braden Snyder from shotgun has a four-receiver set. He will motion a man, that is Stringer, right to left across the formation. They will hand off to Chris Brown. Brown straight ahead, gets to the 30-yard line. Gain of about five on the play. Inside of 4 minutes, 3:40 for the ball game. 40-7 Monticello, as they have held this high-octane Carlinville offense in check here today.
Should have known me is in trouble. We left Litchfield on the highway. Beautiful weather. Just 5 minutes into our trip, it was like we was driving into a fog all of a sudden, all the way up here.
You could just tell that further north you're going to go, it was going to be this type of overcast, dreary day, and it certainly has been that here in Monticello, more ways than one. 3:10 ball game. Snyder from shotgun, third and 11. They need their 41 for a first down. They'll keep it on the ground with Brown straight ahead and nowhere to go. It'll be fourth down for Monticello, and they will have to punt. Brown picked up 3 yards.
Yeah, you like this Monticello team. They're just a, like I say, mirror type of team as Carlinville is. But They have probably, and looking at their stats, a more consistent, strong running game. And that's always a plus.
Absolutely. And they've just played better today, flat out. Cromville did not play well here this afternoon. Way too many mistakes.
Well, we're 4-1 in the turnover battle, and we mentioned that in the beginning of the game. It might be the difference when you're down 4-1. Chances are you didn't win the game.
Snyder gets the punt away, angled towards the left sideline, out of bounds, almost punted it into the stands. 2:13 for the ball game, and Carthenville's prolific offense will have one more chance here, Carl. And of course, so many seniors on this team. Virtually every starter is a senior outside of Colton DeLong, and I think maybe Chase Michaels has been a normal starter at linebacker. But other than that, they are all seniors on this team. And unfinished business was their mantra after getting knocked off in the quarterfinals and overtime last year. They got to the semifinals today, but came up to a sloppy Monticello and just did not play well.
Did not have their normal game, we'll definitely say that.
Easterday, Pats surveys, and he's going to be sacked. Back across midfield at the 46.
And that's what you call a coverage sack, Tim. When the quarterback's just looking, then he's just trying to find a place to run because he can't find a man open.
It's still going to be a great season for the Carthenville Cavaliers. It's going to come to an end here in the state semifinal. And shocking fashion, getting beat by 33 points. As they were looking for the first 13-win season in program history, it's not coming today. 95 seconds before Monticello officially in the 3A championship game. Second and 14. Shotgun snap to Easterday. He's going to pump fake one of the screen. It wasn't there. He'll just try to run it, and he's brought down at his own 49-yard line. And that's been a big thing today. Monticello's taken away those quick hitters.
They have. Carthenville, not a consistent running team, but what they do is those quick passes. Well, today, that's been almost like a danger zone because the defense has been right on it, knocking it away, or to the point they almost just pick-six them.
Into the final minute here of this state semifinal, 3rd and 11 for the Cavaliers. Easterday comes up, says something to his right guard. Hughes is the tailback. Check that. That's Wallace. Jarrett going to throw over the middle. Caught by
Good
Will
catch.
Walton. First down at the Monticello 39-yard line.
So Will get his fourth catch of this game.
Gain of 11. Those types of plays have just been too few and far between for Carthenville. 33 seconds for the game. Clock stops as they move the chains. And Monticello going to move on to the 3A state championship game Friday against Byron. Easterday looking over the middle. It is caught. That is Ambule, I do believe, and he's down inside the 15 in Carthenville.
Ambule,
not Dixon, it's Kyle Dixon.
Okay, I was going to say, well, it can't be Jack Ambule. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe it's
But
that was three.
Carthenville's into the Severs Equipment Red Zone. Score big with Case IH at SeversEquipment.com, online at SeversEquipment.com. It was a mud-covered jersey, whoever made the catch. Wide open and zone! Touchdown! With 12 seconds to play, that is Kyle
Dixon.
That
is Kyle. Last one was Colton DeLong. Finally seen his other side of him, so could catch some of the number.
Carlinville's first offensive touchdown comes with 12 seconds to play in the ball game. So a small victory, at least in that sense, that Carlinville's offense finally gets on the board. But, man, it was just a tough day all around for Carthenville. The offense turned it over four times. The defense gave up several big plays on third and long situations. As Matt Schmidt now on for the extra point try. The kick is up, and it is good. Just 12 seconds to play in the ball game. We're going to keep it here. It's 40-14, and Carl, is just too little too late for Carthenville, but give all the credit to the Monticello Sages.
Yeah. There's no doubt this is a great team, but we knew that going in, and they've just made the key plays. They made that huge third and longs, and you really got to give them credit on those plays, and also came up with the turnovers battle, and they won that big also.
The confetti is flying here in Monticello as for the first time in school history, the Monticello Sages will play for a football state championship. And this has been an amazing atmosphere here today. I don't think Carlinville was rattled by the atmosphere, Carl. I think the wet field at first, it kind of messed them up when they were slipping.
I think that rattled when they played as far as the wet field, because they lost a little of their composure how they play. We've never seen them look. We kind of did a little in that East Alton Wood River game. They didn't look right in the first half. That's kind of what they looked like in this one, except you're playing even a better opponent, and I think it showed real quick.
Yeah, they were just slipping in that first series and were never able to recover here this afternoon. But when you turn the football over four times on the road in a state semifinal, you're not going to win very often. 12 seconds for the game. See if the Cavaliers go onside here. They do not. They will drive it deep. It'll be hauled in by the Sages at the 20. Alec Bundy dancing around at the 30, and he's just going to take a knee down to the 27. 5 seconds on the clock, one knee for Monticello, and they will officially be in the 3A state championship game. Been a great year, though, for Carlinville. This group of seniors, Carl, they've had success, really, that the Carlinville football program hasn't seen before, and they've seen a lot of great football.
They've seen a lot of great football. I don't think we've ever seen a team dominate the South Central Conference the way they did. And we've seen some good Greenville teams, and they came close to that. But Carlinville this year was the most dominant we've ever seen against the other elite teams in the South Central.
Yeah, and their season's going to come to an end here in the state semifinal by the final of 40-14. Brayden Snyder will come under center, a clean uniform, left tackle. There's the knee, and the Monticello Sages defeat the Carlinville Cavaliers 40-14, and Monticello is going to the 3A state championship game Friday at the University of Illinois. We'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up Carlinville's outstanding season following these messages on WSMI. Welcome back to Monticello. Carlinville obviously dejected. The Monticello Sage student section has charged the field here at Monticello. And, Carl, you could just tell by the body language some long, dejected Cavaliers as they went through that handshake line of midfield.
Oh, absolutely. And a tough-fought battle, obviously, for those seniors. And you know your career's over. That is the toughest feeling, whichever time it comes, but especially with a team like this. And you really felt you could make that state title game, and you come up this short. Not a lot short, but just a little short.
Yeah, you wind up one game short of your ultimate goal, getting back to the state championship game. And it looks like Jared Easterday exchanging a hug with older brother Job out there right around the 30-yard line. A lot of emotions for this Carlinville team, and obviously it's going to take them a little while to get over this here today. And, Carl, it's not a situation where they can say, you know, one play here, one play there. Monticello,
there was a lot of plays,
there was a lot of plays, but to me it came down to two plays that really allowed this game to get out of hand. It was 6-0 after Monticello scored on their opening drive. The kickoff got past Kyle Dixon. He picked it up on his own goal line, ran it back to about the 12. Three plays later, Carlinville fumbled. Monticello took over at the 18-yard line, and they got a touchdown off that, so that was costly.
Yeah, that was killer.
So that made
killer
it 13-0. Right, it stayed that way for a long time. Carlinville, they couldn't get anything going offensively, but the defense was holding serve.
Even after a turnover.
Absolutely.
They actually
going back
stopped
and
the turnover.
And about midway through the second quarter in a 13-0 game, Monticello was backed up 3rd-22 at their own 25-yard line, somewhere around there. And on 3rd-22, they hit a 46-yard pass play. And that eventually led to a touchdown with 4:28 to go in the first half, which made it 20-0. But that is really the singular play. If you want to try to boil it down to one
play put them in the hole
that turned the game, that was it.
Well, and you got to feel like you'd love to see these two teams on a beautiful day play football, because it could just be an incredible shootout game. It just worked against Carlinville that once you get down in a game like this and in a field like this, it's like you can't get it back. And they never could really get that offense clicking. Now they do score a touchdown there at the end. There was some just plays that just didn't look right, and half of it, I think, is the footing was bad for the quarterback, and he couldn't adjust to the field.
No, that's exactly right. That was part of it. The other part of it is the Monticello Sagers are really good.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. That's like I say, I'd love to see these two and a beautiful day play because I could see a 40-38 game. That's how I think of these two teams. They match up great. They really do. One, they both have good speed. There's no doubt about it, but Carlinville today was the one that gave up the big plays and didn't make the big plays.
Well, they made mistakes that they haven't made all year. Certainly right. Four turnovers in the game. They haven't done that in a long time.
That might have been more than they
time.
Had all year.
Yeah.
It doubled the interceptions, and it might have just doubled the fumbles. They just didn't have turnovers, period.
They were just out of sorts. You know, sure, sloppy field,
right.
Definitely. But Monticello played on the same field, and they just
better.
Took it to Carlinville
right.
all day long. And give credit to the Monticello defense because they took away the deep ball. They took away that wide receiver screen game, which is so effective for Carlinville. And they didn't necessarily get quote-unquote pressure on Jared Easterday today, but it just seemed like Easterday was unsettled most of the afternoon.
Yeah, well, I remember the one sack he had is basically a coverage sack. He stood there, had all day to throw, but looked there, looked to the left, looked to the right, looked up the middle, and then he tried to find a hole to run in and just ran into one of the Monticello players. One thing you could say on those bubble screens and the quick hitters over there, how many times did they complete it, but they didn't hardly get any yards? You know, and Kyle Dixon catches those, and a lot of times he can shoot down the field maybe all the way or at least for a 10-plus yard gain. Well, today they tackled.
They
made the catches. They tackled, and there was a hit on, Jack?
Jake Ambuehl.
Yeah, Jake. He really got leveled, and that was that one player of theirs that made the several big offensive and defensive plays. Can't think of his name. Oh, let's see.
Devin Graham for
Monticello. Yeah, I was going to say, had no big catches. It was Graham, and he was a game changer today. But, you know, we can mention how's someone not an all-stater that scores a return touchdown and a touchdown, two touchdowns in the quarterfinal game?
Yeah.
Hard to figure.
It
might not have been his best game, and I'll guarantee he'll tell you it won't because he had some footing issues too, but Kyle Dixon still came out and played a great game.
It was just one of those days for Carlinville. It was not meant to be for the Cavaliers. Congratulations to the Monticello Sagers as they are on to the 3A state championship game. But again, congratulations to Carlinville. Just an awesome year. They gave their fans and just everyone who followed the team all year so many thrills and so many exciting moments, but it just was not their day here this afternoon in Monticello. We want to thank all of our football sponsors. Without them, none of these broadcasts are possible, so please go out, patronize the businesses you heard on the broadcast throughout the entire season. Without them, we're not able to bring you any high school sports on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Remind you, 3 weeks from today, the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer at Carlinville High School. 8 games starting 9:30 on the 8th of December at Carlinville. All the money raised that day will go right to Terry Tote and his battle with cancer. So make plans to join us December the 8th at Carlinville High School, the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer. Thanks to Levi Ubelt. He produced this semifinal action here on WSMI FM 106. The final one more time. It was not Carlinville's day as Monticello beats the Cavaliers 40-14. For Carl DeBar, I am Tim Mize. We say so long from Monticello.